Good evening. It's Monday night, Shaare Tzion, 9 p.m., about. And Rico's doing a great job, isn't he? Everywhere I look, there's tapes and CDs. Unbelievable. And he needs sponsors. He cannot produce all this stuff without money. It does cost money. I mean, we give them out for free. That's why they cost money. So anybody interested in sponsoring a tape for any of the community speakers, I'm not advertising for me. Personally, I get in a lot less trouble if the tapes didn't come out. So if you want to sponsor a tape by any of the community rabbis, call up 375-1023, 718-375-1023. And when you tell him what you want to do, tell him he's doing a great job too, because he is. I usually connect what I want to talk to the parasha. So I was working on this class, and I really didn't look at the parasha. So I could fake it and tell you that in this week's parasha, as all of Bnei Yisrael were collecting the booty of Mitzrayim before they departed at high noon, in the clear of day, not chas v'shalom like thieves in the night, Moshe Rabbeinu was spending his time locating the bones of Yosef. Anybody need a pen? Locating the bones of Yosef, which were hidden from him, because Bnei Yisrael had promised Yosef they would take his bones out with them. Paro, knowing this, sunk the coffin, weighted down in the depths of the Nile. And the story goes that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to find it with the help of Serach Bat Asher, the daughter of Asher, who lived to a very old age. And he was able to elevate it out of the water. And while everybody else was running around collecting money at the Tzivui of Hashem, it was a mitzvah. Vayikach Moshe et atzmot Yosef imo. Moshe took the bones of Yosef with him. Chacham leb yikach mitzvot. The one who's wise of heart will grab the mitzvot. That's all I have to say about the parasha. Just to let you know. It's all over with the shouting. But strange as it may seem, this little thing that I thought of on the way over here to open the class in the car. So as you know, I don't like to turn on the radio immediately upon entering the car. It's one of my pet peeves. You turn on the radio, turn off your brain. Better to leave the brain on and the radio off. Even though you might miss something that Hannity says. And then you won't be in because you won't know what he said. But if you leave the radio off, your brain will stay on. It's much better. That I want to talk tonight from several aspects of something that's called the Midah of Zirizut. Zirizut, it's a hard word to translate into English. Because every time I look it up, it says a word that, personally, I went to college, I went to law school, I have a lot of education. I don't know what this word means, but I can tell you what the translation is. The word in English for zirizut is, you got your pencils? Alacrity. A-L-A-C-R-I-T-Y. Now, how many times in the last 20 years did you say, wow, what alacrity? You tell that to somebody, they'll slap you in the face. So what it means is to have get up and go. To jump at an opportunity. To simply put, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. Avraham has a mitzvah to do. He gets up early in the morning to do it. The people are meticulous in doing mitzvot. They pray what's called Vatikin. You have to say the Amidah in the daytime. They say it exactly at sunrise, which is the first moment of the day to show zirizut. You got it now? That's alacrity. Now that I've explained alacrity, Let's start tonight's class, because that's what it's about. Anything with a mitzvah is a daytime mitzvah. The suggestion of our sages is yakdim la'asoto ba'boker. You should do it as early as possible. So let's say somebody's making a brit milah. Since a brit milah cannot be done in the nighttime, it should only be done to be valid in the daytime. The best time to do it is at the crack of day. Early in the day as possible. Yeah, we have Shema, we have other mitzvot we do, maybe we want to pray. So, 8 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock, but not 3 in the afternoon. Because zirizim makdimim la mitzvot. Those that have this fabulous quality of alacrity, zirizim, they get up early and they jump at the opportunity to do a mitzvah. And we learn it from our patriarch Abraham. In fact, it's very rarely mentioned that if something is a mitzvah of the night, you should do it as early in the night as possible. You know where it comes from? That jumping right to where it comes from. Usually I give you a big build-up or alacrity. I give you 100 examples of zirizim. But no, I want you to understand where it comes from. Because it's a matter of attitude. Yosef and his brothers. Let's use that as an example. Yosef is spiritually in conflict with his brothers. They have certain issues on a spiritual level they don't agree with each other. And so the brothers have a bet din. They sit down and they decide he's a rodef, he's a pursuer. We have a right of self-defense. So therefore they judge him to death. And then there's a little conversation, even after the decision, why should we have the blood of our brother on our hands? Let's throw him in the pit. So Reuven convinces them to throw him in the pit, pending whatever they're going to do. Of course, in his mind is to come back, and pull him out of the pit and save him. When he comes back, of course, he finds that the pit is empty. Unbeknownst to him, the brothers sold their brother to the passing caravan. He ends up in Mitzrayim, Potiphar, the wife, the dad, the king, the dad, that's when we end up with Pesach, Matan Torah. Vayishma Reuven, the Pasuk says. Reuven heard. Amar Rabbi Yitzhak ben Morian. You know what that Pasuk Reuven heard comes to tell us? Ba katu lamedach she'im adam ose mitzvah. If a person does a mitzvah, ya'asena b'leb shalem. A person should always do a mitzvah, I like leb shalem, wholeheartedly. Perfect translation. I'm almost art scroll now. Wholeheartedly. Or as they say in commercials for beer, lahavdil, with all the gusto you can. Grab the mitzvah with all the gusto you can. That's chacham leb, yikach mitzvot. The wise of heart grabs mitzvot like Moshe who went to get the bones of Yosef. But in the case of Reuven, look how the midrash continues. It's one of my favorite midrashim. I have a lot of midrashim that I love, but this is like one of my favorites. She'ilu haya Reuven yodea. If Reuven would have known she'akadosh baruch hu, that Hashem himself, machtiv alav, is going to write in the Torah for eternity. Vayishma Reuven vayatzilehu miyadam. Reuven heard and he saved them saved Yosef, I'm sorry, saved him from their hands, you know what he would have done? He said, hey guys, why don't we throw him in the pit? You know what he would have done? B'ketefo haya molicho etz laviv. He would have put him on his shoulders, carried him away, all the way back to Yaakov and said, Daddy, I saved Yosef, here he is. And the Midrash goes on to tell us about Boaz, that what he did, if he would have known, it would have been written. And it gives a lot of examples of people, if they would have known, if Aaron would have known that the Torah is going to write that he came out with no grudge to meet his brother, his younger brother, Moshe, who was coming to replace him as the leader of the Jewish people and the savior of the people and take them out of Mitzrayim and get the Torah. And he came unbegrudgingly, happily. And the Pasuk says he came, he's going to see you and he's going to be happy in his heart. Says the Midrash, he would have got a 12-piece band and come marching with a parade to meet Moshe. My brother's home, and bring CNN, ABC, MSNBC, bring all the reporters, the New York Times, Time Magazine, let's get on the cover. Because the Torah is going to write what I'm doing. This is my great moment. Now this is a conflict. We're told, and we even say in Berkat HaMazon, all our deeds should be for the sake of heaven. I'm not supposed to have an interest in my mitzvot. I'm supposed to do it to sanctify God's name on earth. He commanded, I do. Wow, what a king. Look at his servants, how well they serve him. And not for any personal motives. And then it says, if Reuven would have known, wow, what a mitzvah he would have done. He would have carried him. Well, how am I supposed to do it? Am I supposed to do it with the carrying and the excitement and the fanfare? Or am I supposed to do it l'shem shamayim? So answers the Shila. Kadosh. Shnei Luchot HaBrit is the name of the Sefer. And that's Asher Tevot Shela. Inyan Atziyat HaMitzvah B'Lev Shalem Hu. Doing a mitzvah wholeheartedly is Sheyered Le'omek HaMitzvah. You should get to the depths, to the guts of the mitzvah. V'yaskir V'yavin Ba. And understand it and pay attention to it. Ad Hechan Himaga. To realize a mitzvah is not, I do something, I decide I want to put on a tzitzit, or I give a quarter to a man who comes to the shul, or I do a chesed for somebody. You have to understand, you're touching buttons. You're reaching roots, spiritual roots in Shamayim, in heaven. And for eternity, there's a place called eternity that goes on after all this existence disappears. There's an eternal world, and you're touching it when you do a mitzvah. You're connecting to it. I used to have one man, I used to go to his office, sit and learn a little bit. He tells me, I like the days you come. I tell him, why? Because you learn something? He says, no, because I'm connected. And I don't even know if he knew what he was saying. But when you're learning Torah, you're connected. When you're doing a mitzvah, you're connected to something so big, so great, so eternal, so everlasting, you can't even realize it. But you're supposed to try and learn that and understand it so that you'll value mitzvot. Ve'az, says the Shila, then, kishitponem b'libo godel inyana, when he realizes how great the mitzvah is, ya'asene yoter bezrizut. When you know what it's worth, you'll do it with more alacrity. Ubehidur, and more gloriously, you'll do it better. See, you got to put into a mitzvah to get out of a mitzvah. The Gemara in Tani tells us about the Bibiroka. He went to the marketplace in Shechem. And he's looking around, and like many of the Tanaim, he runs into, you know, just like you do every day when you go shopping, he runs into Eliyahu HaNavi. There he happens to be in the shuk, there's Eliyahu HaNavi, the Bibliokal looks up, hey, how you doing? How you doing? They get together, they're all friends. He tells him, Eliyahu, since you know what's really going on, out of all these people right now on 34th Street and Broadway, this active corner, you know, you ever try to cross that street, you don't know when to go or not to go, there's all kinds of people pushing and shoving. In all these people, is anybody going to Olam Haba? So Eliyahu points out three people. One is a man who serves as a jailer, a warden. He's wearing black shoes, which was uncommon in those days. It was a sign of mourning, because he was mourning for the temple. And he wasn't wearing a tzitzit, which everybody else did wear. There were two people, quite different than this depressing soul, who were jesters, clowns, who walked around the marketplace looking for people with long faces and going over to them and making them smile and feel good. They bring peace to people. So, Rabbi Barakah asked Eliyahu HaNavi, well, who are these people? What's the story? I don't know. They're going about. He walked over. He asked him. He found out that this jailer, because why he didn't wear a tzitzit was so he could move freely amongst the goyim. They wouldn't recognize him as a Yehudi. And he did that in order to save girls that they wanted to abduct. So when they talk about it, he would go and warn, he would intervene, and he would save them. Not only that, in the jail, when people got thrown in jail, he made sure, and it wasn't easy, to keep the men and the women separate. So although they may have sinned to the state, they wouldn't end up sinning to God, if I could be blunt about it. And the two jesters who made people laugh, they walked around and they made sure the people were happy. And if two people were unhappy because they were fighting or depressed or a man had a fight with his wife, they would cheer them up to the point where they bring peace between people. Says the Maharal. What's the explanation of this Gemara? Why are they so special, these three people? Two jesters and a warden in the jail or a jailkeeper. Why are they so special? They get Olam Haba. And he uses an amazing word. Mipene, due to Godel, the greatness, hazirizut, of the effort, of the alacrity that they had for the mitzvah. Because the one who had to separate the men and women in the jail, it was extra work for him, and it was hard to do. And he could have left it be, but he decided it wasn't right. And when he saw Yisraelit, a young Jewish lady, that they were putting their eyes on her, they were planning to abduct her, he used to be moser nefesh, self-sacrifice, to go through whatever it takes to break their plot and make it unsuccessful. And because of that zirizut, he was awarded Olam Haba. He was connected to the mitzvah. And because of his connection to the value of the mitzvah, he put extra effort into it because he saw the value, and with that, he bought Olam Haba. You know what Rambam says it takes to get Olam Haba? Rambam, Maimonides. Now you must figure, it's 613. It's full. Well, we don't have to do all of them. There's Kohanim. Women don't have to do some ones the men do. Men don't have to do certain ones the women do. Great. The Levi does what a Yisrael doesn't do. Kohen does. Go, I'll split them up. I got 200 mitzvot to do. I got 300 mitzvot to do. There's no Beit HaMikdash. There's hundreds that go without Yerushalayim and Beit HaMikdash. So now, I think there's a book, Sefer about HaFetz Chaim. It tells you how many are active today. I think it's approximately 190, 200 mitzvot. The Rambam says, Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelek Olam Haba. All of Israel has a chelek, has a place in Olam Haba. A share, a portion. But someone who does one mitzvah, count them. One. One mitzvah bishlemut, perfectly. Without any other intention, except to do the mitzvah l'shem shamayim, bingo! You just won Powerball. You're in Olam Haba. His words are, ki ha'oseh mitzvah ahat bishlemut, mibeli shiitztaref ba kavana acheret, zocheh hu l'Olam Haba. Unbelievable! Wholeheartedly. In fact, when we say make peace between people like these jesters did, the Maharal points out that's called Rodef Shalom, chasing after peace. Aharon HaKohen was known as Ohev Shalom Verodef Shalom. It takes a lot, you got to run after it. It's not going to be easy to do. Don't think every mitzvah is easy, I got to do one now, boy, Olam Haba tomorrow. I just gave you the formula, right? You're going to do it, right? Isn't it easy? Not so simple. Because in the goof of a person, we have another midah. Not zirizut. Atzlut. That one, I can translate. Downright laziness. The cow in you who wants to eat the grass, swish my tail, and do absolutely nothing. That's your body. Relax. Take it easy. Don't exert yourself. Thank God it's Friday. I could sleep 28 hours in one Shabbat. To have zirizut, you got to get rid of that. You got to remove your earth suit. Space suit is for outer space. So that the human animal part of a person can breathe in a place where there's no air, no oxygen, no heat. So they put him in a space suit and they float around up there. But when the neshama, the holy part of you, comes down to earth, they put you in an earth suit. So your neshama can survive in an atmosphere that it can't stand. And it's called your body. The Midav Zirizut takes work. Yehuda ben Tema Omer, Heve'az Kanamer. You have to be brazen, strong, like a Namer. Namer is a leopard, I believe. Vikal Kanesher. You have to fly like an eagle. Soar. Ratz katzivi. Run like a deer. Gibor kari. Mighty like a lion. Wow, I gotta do all that. Ugh, I feel tired already. And why do I have to take on all those midot? Says Yehuda ben Tema, for one reason. La'asot ritzon avicha. Shabbashamay. To do the desire, the will of your Father in heaven. Because the laziness wins. Look at you, how you're sitting. You're all slouching. You're tired. It's 9:30. The room's a little hot. The man's talking his head off. Why don't I just sit back and... Any of you still awake? Got problems in this class. If I don't get up and dance, everybody falls asleep. People in tape land don't even know what I got to do to keep you guys awake here. They put a tape in the car, they're driving. Then they open the window, stick their arm out, because I'm putting them to sleep in the cars. But the laziness in the person, the body that you were given, the natural physical way you are, overcome and overpower your spiritual eagle, your spiritual deer, your spiritual leopard and your spiritual lion. And they nullify the actions, the deeds and the desires of your soul. And that's why Yehuda ben Tema says, you got to take on these midot to overcome the heavy weight. You know why it says, La'asot Ratzon Avicha Shebashamayim? Beautiful Darasha I saw. Why is it mentioned Shamayim? We know Hashem is in heaven. We know He's Elyon. We say in the Amidah, El Elyon. He's above it all. Yoshev b'Shamayim Yitzchak. The one up there in Shamayim Hashem, He left. So why does it say, La'asot Ratzon Avicha Shebashamayim? Say Avicha. He says, because in order to do the Ratzon of Avicha, in order to do the will and the desire of your father, you have to be like his servants in heaven, the angels. The angels don't have a body. They don't have a yetzara. They don't have free will. You tell them, yes, boss. They do it. They run and they do it. They don't know any other way. They don't have what we have to fight and overcome, to beat up in order to win. That's how a person has to make themselves. You have to be powerful and overcome your normal self, your natural self, your physical self. And you have to become non-physical, spiritual, in order to do the avodah of Avicha in the Shamayim. Now, although natural is in, right? Natural food, natural this, natural that, natural healing. You have to be unnatural because your natural ain't so good for what your purpose is. Skip. I got some good stuff now. We're getting the point of what your attitude should be. Your attitude should be Baharta b'chayim. You want to choose life. We all really want to win the Powerball of Olam Haba. We want to go there. How are we going to do it? Now the Torah tells us very simple. I put in front of you life. I put in front of you the other thing, the unfavorable option. Ubahata v'chayim. And you should choose life. In fact, the books tell us, if you choose life, it won't have effect only on you. It'll have effect on your children too, and your children's children. If you develop an attitude of chasing and running and doing, your children will also develop it. But how are you going to do that? When you do things, smile. Can you do that? Do that for me now. It's late. Let me see. Could you still smile? I'm batting about 80%. How about the rest of you? Could you smile? Good. He's smiling. David's smiling. Good. Can we get some smiles in the back? Good, better. Well, I see you can hear me. We're all smiling now. You know, somebody asked Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, how come the people who came from Europe, those that were so, one word for you, frum, they were really holy people, observant people, some of them simple, some of them more learned, but they all had Yirat Shamayim. They came to these shores, the late 1800s, early 1900s, and one, sometimes two generations later, and most three generations later, did not know who they were, where they came from, what their religion was, how to observe it, or what to do. How come the assimilation was so rapid, somebody asked Rav Moshe. And he said, because although the parents were observant, they complained. Oh, please don't bother me. Tonight Shabbat. Shabbos, they would say. I have so much to do. It's so hard. I'll never be ready. It costs money. I don't have it. My husband's not working. Oh, but we'll do it. So they sat down to a beautiful Shabbat table. They sang songs, but then when mom would complain to dad about something, he'd say, who said it's cheap to be a Jew? It's hard to be a Jew. And when Pesach came and cleaning had to be done, oh no, Pesach again, we have to clean and we have to wash and we have to change the dishes and we have to do this and we have to do that. We have to. Project. And you can imagine Motzai Kippur, when the father, who was 80 to many, would have to get up, that's the Jiddur, the grandfather. He'd say, oh, okay, we lived through Kippur, we finally ate, now I have to go outside and make a sukkah. Oh. So when they heard that, they said, I'm not half the man my father is. If he's having a hard time doing it, if it's so unpleasant for him, why should I do it? And we lost generations of Yehudim because we didn't have simcha. It's great to do a mitzvah. It's fun to build a sukkah. I love my Pesach Seder. I don't go on a cruise for Pesach. I love it in my house. With the cleaning and the dishes and the everything, but I love it. I do everything. I love Pesach. It's a great holiday. I love the sukkah. I love mitzvot. It's fun. It's my Olam Haba, it's why I was created, it's what Hashem wants me to do. I could feel Hashem looking down on me and smiling at me as I do this mitzvah. I did a mitzvah a month ago. I still feel good when I think about it. I did a mitzvah 10 years ago. I could still smile and feel warm inside that I did it. I went to a party last night. I don't know what they served. I don't know who was there. I don't know what I said. I don't know what I had to drink. It's nothing to me. My mitzvot are important. You live like that, your children say, I want to have what daddy has. Mitzvot. Not something with CLLSPQ or something in front of it with a number. That comes in red, blue, green, da-da-da, leather interior, this kind of button, this kind of bottom. I don't know the numbers anymore. There's a new Mercedes, I think, SL500? The little one. What's the little one called? SL. Yeah, the SL. And then there's a new, the Z came back. You got to get one of those now. I already saw three in the neighborhood. It must be the new car. Oh, what's that? Look, that's the new car. Okay, well, every teenager must have one in 2 weeks. It's a neighborhood requirement. Till the next one comes out. My friend needed a car. His wife put him in the car, drove him up down the streets. They looked at the driveways. They knew what to buy. Didn't go to one car showroom, called up the leasing guy and said, send me the one the guy at 2038 has. Same color, same everything. You want to drive it? No, if he has it, it must be good. Everybody on the block has one. Mitzvot! I want to be happy! The car's not going to make me happy. It's going to aggravate me when they scratch it, when they steal the headlights, when they bump into it, when the guy in the parking lot doesn't bring it out fast enough for me, when the kids put gum on the seats. It's going to get me unhappy. They can't touch my mitzvot. They're mine. So I run to get them. Could you imagine if somebody was sleeping in bed? Nice. Tonight's going to be about 18 degrees. I heard 18. Some kind of funny number we don't want to hear about. So they're under the covers. They got their little kitten slippers on. With the muffin, puppy slippers. Wearing socks while you sleep, flannel PJs, nice down comforter, the heat's on a nice number, and somebody comes and says, hello, wake up. No, get up, get up. We gotta go outside.
You're crazy. I ain't going nowhere.
You don't understand. Outside. Just one block away, just around the corner on King's Highway, there's a treasure. Some guy robbed the bank and he threw all the money in a wastebasket on King's Highway in East 3rd. It's in all the garbage from all the restaurants. And if we go there, we can keep it because nobody will know.
No, I don't know. It's too cold.
It's too cold. No, I hear it's about $8 or $10 million.
Yeah, it's cold. I'll come back when it's 48. I don't want to go out when it's 18.
No, you understand. The first one to get there is going to get it. Otherwise, tomorrow they're recycling the paper. No, I don't know.
All right, I compromise. Tell me when it's 38. I ain't going out when it's 18. Is that what you're going to do?
Or you can say, you know, $10 million, give me my thermals, give me my boots, give me my coat, give me my earmuffs, give me my hat, I'm going to be the first one there. You're going to run. Because you know, $10 million just don't come along every day. Although you can't get a house in the neighborhood for that, but at least you'll be able to rent an apartment. And you get the little car. Not the one that they have, the one that's coming out next week. You don't want that one that they have already. So we have a whole situation. If a person knows the value, are they going to let it pass? So we walk through this world, lazy bums that we are, walking by $1 million garbage cans, and we don't want to stick our hands in. Because I might have to take off my gloves and it's cold. Is that the way you are? Well, the next person to come along then is going to take the money.
Shem and Yefet find out that their father got drunk and he's lying in his birthday suit. So Shem said, Canaan says, come everybody look. So he gets cursed forever. But Shem and Yafet take a different approach. Shem says, I got a blanket, come with me, let's cover him. And Yafet goes along. Shem becomes the Semites, the Yehudim, the people of the Torah, and he's given the mitzvah of tzitzit. Says the Midrash. And you know what Yefet gets for accompanying him
at the suggestion of somebody else. He came in second. You know, somebody told me, very interesting, the Powerball thing was what? 200 million, 200 something million, 300. How much was that Powerball a couple of weeks ago? 300 something million. So some guy tells me, you got to get six numbers. So he got four or five. I don't know what he got. So I tell him, what do you win? He tells me $2,000. Like, he say, I say, wait a minute. If they have 300 million for the winner, how do you get so little? He says, I don't know. That's why give me $2,000. I think he had four numbers. So I said, wow. It's just like this. Shem gets to be the chosen people. He gets the Torah. He gets Eretz Yisrael. He gets Olam Haba. He gets called Banim Atem LaShem Elokechem. You're the children of God. What does Yefet get? Second place. He came in second. He was with them. They were both doing the same mitzvah. They both covered their father, but one thought of it and prompted the other. The other guy went along. What do you think he got? In the days of the war of Gog and Magog, which is coming very soon, I don't know if it's Korea, I don't know if it's Iraq, but it's that final war, when the people of Yefet, who are the Greeks or whoever, the Greeks, the Turks, or somebody in that area of the world, when they die from whatever Holocaust there's going to be, Hashem promises, I will allow them to be buried. That's their reward. You covered your father, I'll cover your corpses. When the tzitzit came with Matan Torah, less than 1,000 years later. The burial, which ain't so great to begin with, ain't the best prize. It's the $2,000, not the $300 million. When do you get it? At the end of time. You move slowly, you're going to get paid later. Is that scary? That's scary. Every second of movement, every aspect of your motive is going to determine what you get for it. How much reward? What kind of reward? What's going to be depends on your attitude, which I mentioned to you 43 minutes and 33 seconds ago. It's a matter of attitude. Look at Avraham Avinu. It says that Avraham Avinu is told, Lech Lecha, go, leave, ka, pa, pa. You all learned it. We were here. It wasn't so long ago. They went out to go to Arz HaKenan, the land of Canaan. They came to Arz HaKenan. You know what the books say about it? If he went to leave to Arz HaKenan, what do you have to tell me he got there for? And if he got there, what do you have to tell me that's where he was going? But the Pasuk has an intent why it mentioned he left to go to Arz HaKenan and he arrived in Arz HaKenan. Because Avraham Avinu, when he walked, it was because Hashem told him to walk. And when he took the first step, he was flying! He was freaking out! Hashem told me go, and now every step I take is the command of God. I don't care if I walk miles, days, months, years. I can walk around the whole planet. Why? Because Hashem said that I'm getting a mitzvah with every step. So you say, wait a minute. I've done that. I've started something new. And I got excited. But how are you 18 miles later? I'm thirsty, you have a Powerade. Can we rest now? Honey, we did enough sightseeing. If I see another museum and another rock, you know, I don't want. You know, you go to Israel, Eretz HaKodesh, Eretz Yisrael. You still go on tours. And invariably, one of the two partners says, can we go see some live people? You go around, you go to all the kibarot, you're praying. I saw enough rocks to last me a lifetime. And the other one, what are you talking about? This is Rabbi Chananya Bakasha, this is Rabbi Chiya and his son, this is Rabbi Akiva, you know where we are. Somebody's getting excited, and the other one can't take it.
Abraham Avinu is walking. Every step he takes, mitzvah, says the pasuk, Vayetzeu lalechet ha'aretz Kenan. How did he leave like you would leave? Hashem said, hello, go to Kenan. Wow, Hashem told me, go, I'm going. Very exciting. You get up to go. But you know what happens? A week later, a month later, how much more? Says the pasuk, Vayavo Aretz HaKenan, he got there exactly with the same excitement as he left. The last step was as good as the first, because he was doing a mitzvah. Are you guys getting the point yet? Because I got more. So I don't know if you're getting it. Getting late, I'm tired. How about you? Used to be every 3 minutes somebody yawned. Now I'm getting two people yawning simultaneously every minute and a half. That's known as crowd control. I got to watch the crowd, you know. I got to know how long to go. I got a lot more. But you know something? A lot of people confuse fast movement, running around, get up and go, with zirizut. With this alacrity, this gusto that I'm talking about. Let me give you a contrast. Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. We said that, right? That was 42 minutes ago. Abraham got up early in the morning to do the mitzvah, as early as he could. You know who else got up early in the morning? Bil'am. Bil'am, the wicked prophet who came to curse the Jews for hire, for money, on his donkey, who he used to have relations with. He came early in the morning. He saddled up his donkey. I'm going. Hashem looked down and laughed. Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Midrash. Rasha. You wicked one. Kivar kidemcha Abraham Avihem. You're getting up early. You're putting the saddles to show them. Show me you want to do what Hashem wants. You think you're sketching me. Abraham Avinu beat you by 500 years. 400 plus to be exact. You see the zirizut. If you took a video of Abraham in the morning and you took a video, well now we don't take video, we do digital something. And you took it of Abraham and Bil'am, and then you did the playback. It looked like both of them had zirizut. Because at the crack of dawn, they were up, and as soon as the sunrise came up, that saddle was on the donkey and they were riding. But you see, there's a big difference. The Nahalat Eliezer says that Bil'am's zirizut, so to speak, wasn't from the source that great people like Abraham drawed their zirizut from. It comes from his disgusting low nature. From his conceit. From his ayin ra'ah. From his greed. Nefesh rechava. This comes not from power, but from weakness and laziness. But he got up early. But he did the donkey. I saw the movie. I saw Abraham. Looks the same. Abraham was more tzaddik looking, more holy looking. But I saw the both of them. They got the same time. They did the same thing. How could you tell me it was different? How could you tell me one's called, instead of alacrity and get up and go and gusto, laziness? Yes. You see, to be Abraham, to
to do good in spite of your nature, gentlemen and ladies, you have to be, what did Yehuda ben Tema say? Az kanamer, kal kanesher, ratz kasevi, gibor ka'ari. You have to have that strength and power to overcome your nature. You think that's easy? I get tired thinking about it. I like push button, instant, digital, electronic, remote control. I mean, people who watch TV are lazy. But they won't get up to change the station. It would kill them. They'll die first in the couch with the potato chips and the beer. They will not touch that set. Because they're lazy. And yet they get up in the morning, very early. There's traffic on Ocean Parkway, very dark, to chase the buck. They get up. I know tomorrow's Wednesday? No, tomorrow's Tuesday. I know in 2 days, I will wake up. I will be heading to an early class at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning like I always do. And there'll be a car service or a van in front of every house in the neighborhood to go on vacation. With the suitcases and the ski jackets and the crinkly clothes that make noise in the airport. They'll all be wearing it. They'll be ready. Tell them we got something in shul at 5 o'clock. No, wake me up when it's 48. Remember that guy? You see, to overcome your yetzer, you have to be strong. But to run after money, to run after vacations, to run after the things that the yetzer puts in front of you, you have to be too lazy and weak to fight him. You have to fight to be zariz. You have to be strong to be zariz. And most people are not. The only thing that got Bilam up was the greed for the money. Or the excitement of maybe being the first one to succeed in bringing down the Jews. He failed and so too will all our enemies ever. From now to the end of time. There's no Bilam, there's no Haman, there's no Paro, there's no Saddam, there's no anybody. Arafat Yimach Shemo, he should die of Parkinson's. Should suffer first. But all of them fail because they're lazy, because they're weak, because they can't fight the Yetzirah. And we, the people of Hashem, are told in the very beginning of Shulchan Aruch, you want to start your day, you want to run your life, remember Yehuda ben Tema. Be zariz. Realize what a mitzvah is. Grab it with gusto. Love it. Enjoy it. Overcome. Remember there's gold out there. There's diamonds in the street. Although I heard pearls are costing more lately. They want pearls now. That's our women. They figure out what they want. The pride, they always make a better one. We're up to the top pearls now. $125,000 a strand. There's a cheap set for $40,000, I heard. Thousands of dollars for pearls. God, there's pearls on the street. Do a chesed. Give tzedakah. Read a Torah. Do a mitzvah. And you're grabbing diamonds from the street. But it takes power to overcome yourself. To be who you are. Ki ha-mitzvah hazot. Is a machloket in the Rishonim, whether mitzvah azot means teshuvah, or it means all the mitzvot. Ha-mitzvah azot asher anuchi mitzavecha hayom. The mitzvot of the Torah, lo nefletu mimecha. It's not far from you. Ve-lo rechokai. It's not wondrous, it's not awesome, it's not something you can't achieve, and it's not far. Ki karov elecha davar me'od, it's very close. I'm going to tell you an amazing thing now. You look awake. I can't, I'm not wasting it. If you're all awake, I could tell you this. There's a Great sefer. I got to find it. I didn't think I was going to tell you, but I'm going to tell you. Because you were nice to me tonight. Where is it? There's a sefer called... God, I skip a lot tonight. I know I have it. Here I have it. Nefesh HaChayim. See, a person starts off lazy because they can find excuses for everything. Moshe Rabbeinu comes and tells us, all you have to do is say it. If a person says it and he's not lazy about it, he says, I'm going to do it, Ya'azruhu Hashem. Hashem will help you. So all it takes for a person to achieve spiritually is to start. And the start, the beginning, the seed of success in the spirit is to say it. And all that takes is a little desire. You got to want it. But Nefesh HaChayim comes up with a chidush over and above that you cannot believe. It's Shar Aleph, the beginning of the book, chapter Yud Bet 12. Meharega she'ole al tohar mahashavat ha'adam la'asot mitzvah. From the instant, from the first moment that a person's pure thought is creating their mind to do a mitzvah. Miyad. That gives me goosebumps. Immediately. Instantly. Oseh hadavar roshem lemala. It makes an impression. Ooh, up there. I don't know where it is, but it touches a button. Umisayin lo min hashamayim legmor et hamitzvah. And they help you from heaven to finish and complete the mitzvah. Did this ever happen to anybody? Okay. I know you're all nice people and you don't watch movies and television, but I'm going to tell you something. I know you know about it. This I know you know about. I'm sorry to say, even I know about it. This is so popular, you don't have to be a Trekkie to know about it. You know what a Trekkie is, right? People like Star Trek. They're Trekkies. They used to have this thing on the, what is it called, Enterprise, that when somebody got in trouble, like, and there was no hope, they'd make this radio call through outer space, and he'd say, beam me up, Scotty. And Scotty, the guy with the accent on the spaceship, would press a button, turn some knobs, and then you'd see the light go all around the person like a neon outline. Remember that? Come on, you have to know that. A neon outline would go around him, and all of a sudden he'd break up into little dots, he'd escape the danger, and he'd be standing on the spaceship. That's called beam me up, Scotty. Says the Nefesh HaChayim 200 years ago, a little more, when you decide you want to do a mitzvah, from that moment, there's an Or HaMakif, a light that surrounds you, a spiritual power of light, of Kodesh, to help you complete the mitzvah. You know why? You thought you want to do it. You sincerely desire it. Hashem will then help you. But if we should be lazy and not take advantage of the opportunity, if we're atzer, lazy, and we don't even do the little that's required of us, We can't even get the words out of our mouth. Beficha ulbavicha lasoto. It's in your mouth and heart to do. When we get to Olam HaEmet, says Or Yechezkel, kishenagia leOlam HaEmet, nireh shelo koshi atara mana hatzlacha meitanu. It wasn't the difficulty of the Torah that made us fail. Ella atzlutenu. It was our laziness. Shehefri alanu. That bothered us, distracted us, and prevented us from getting the words out of our mouth. 62 minutes ago, I said tonight's class is about attitude. That's what it's about. If you know the value of what I'm talking about, your attitude towards it will be, I want it. I'm going to have it. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go out. I'm going to get it. Nothing's going to stop me. Nothing's going to hold me back. Not peer pressure. Not family pressure. Not financial pressure. Not lack of physical ability. Not lack of education. Nothing can stop me. If I want spiritual perfection, I can have it. All I have to do is think I want it, say I want it, and the big light will surround me, and I'll start to succeed at it. And then nobody could stop the leopard. Nobody can bring down the eagle. Nobody can catch the deer. And nobody can overcome the lion in you. That's Sirisut. You have it. All you have to do is use it. And you will succeed. Thank you.